I'm one of your hosts, Miles. Today I'm joined, as usual, by my boy Josh. What's cracking?
Hey, what up, horror fans?
And salutations to Chris. How you been?
Tombstoners, what's good?
So today, Merry Christmas, y'all. It's our, tradition to do a
rom-com Christmas.
Romantic comedies on our horror show for Christmas.
Year number three, baby.
And this is actually going to be the third year anniversary of the Boob Report, or second year anniversary of the Boob Report then, because it started on one of the Christmas episodes. You're welcome, world. Today we are talking about the 2006 romantic comedy uplifting joyful film, Last Holiday, 2006, Queen Latifah.
Long live the queen.
Long live the queen. Had you guys seen this movie? Well, hold on before we go too far. Do we have any frightful finds for this fine episode? Maybe even a Christmas-themed one.
Oh, no, Miles dude. Does.
I actually remembered I do have a frightful find, but I would like to hear yours first, Miles.
Well, Dying Lodge... Dying Light Watch continues, but anyway, I'm still playing Dying Light, but I found this super cool show called Cursed Films on AMC Plus, and it's all about, like, what happened behind the scenes of movies and stuff, like Poltergeist 3 and The Omen and all of that stuff, and I have, like, I'm not much of a binger these days. I have been just letting that roll everywhere I go in my house. It's actually really, really well made. Like the Twilight Zone movie where John Landis let these kids get killed by a helicopter. That shit was crazy. So,
oh, yeah, the decapitation.
Yeah, it just straight up landed on them. It was terrible. Anyway, and also I got a first edition comic of, I don't have it here to show you boys, but I'll post it on the socials. It's a continuation of the Night of the Living Dead comic that I was talking about in October. It's like a spinoff. And it's Santa Claus on the front eating a kid's face off. And it's like a zombie comic. And it looks awesome. And I'm super excited to share it with everybody. So that's those are my frightful finds. Oh, and a new Alien Xenomorph comic series just started. I got number one. And once I get a little scratch, I'm going to subscribe to it. And so we'll see how that goes. Who else has got some frightful finds? Chris?
I don't really know how I forgot about this because I've really only been playing one video game, but I finally beat Alan Wake and I started this new game, Control, which is, I guess, in the shared universe of Alan Wake, but isn't a direct sequel, but apparently it has some DLC that ties directly to Alan Wake's storyline. So I've been grinding through it and it's pretty sweet. The concept is, like, there's a Federal Bureau of Control, and basically, like, the headquarters they operate out of is kind of like a multidimensional portal. And so there's, like, all these, they call them objects of power, and they're almost like poltergeist items, but they kind of are, like, bringing stuff from the other dimension in, into ours. So it's kind of sci-fi, kind of horror. Very mysterious, like they've really been slow feeding any kind of details about like what's actually going on. I'm really liking it so far. It's got this, like, I don't even know, kind of like this voice in your head that's talking to you, but it's like hard to discern what it's saying. So I don't know, the main character may be evil, which I think is kind of interesting, but
might let you pick what direction you go and stuff.
Yeah, so that's been pretty sweet, not gonna lie.
That sounds awesome, dude. I like games that, like, give you choices and, like, flip you on your ass when it's like, yeah, you were a good guy the whole time. No, you weren't. That shit's awesome.
Yeah, it's been interesting because, like, no one knows what's going on in the game. And also, like, even the people who do, most of them die almost immediately. So, like, you're about to get told something and then they just get murked.
Cool. So yeah, that sounds actually super awesome. Is that one like multiplayer or is that a single player game?
Just a single player. Apparently it's only like 11 or 12 hours to beat the campaign. So I should be done with that one somewhat soon. I would say in the next month or so, I'll knock that one out. And then it'll be on to Alan Wake Part 2.
Hell yeah. Josh, you got any frightful finds?
Yeah, I got a couple. Me and Chris both saw Godzilla Minus One, which is, it's not super fresh right now, but we haven't recorded in a while, so it's about the last horror-y thing I did. It was amazing. We won't talk about it too much because Miles hasn't seen it, but it was pure cinema.
Great film.
Me and Chris loved it. I can't wait to watch it again. I'm definitely going to buy it when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get the, I'm hoping for a 4K Steelbook edition. I'll definitely pick that bad boy up.
Hell yeah.
And other than that, the only other horror thing I can think of is I downloaded a game for me and Chris to play. What is it called? Aliens Fire Squad Elite? Is that what it's called?
Fire Team Elite, yeah.
Fire Team Elite, yeah. It's a little different. It's a little Gears of War-y. But it's not too bad. I haven't played it too much, so I'm looking forward to getting into it a little more. You have like a regular like Earthman's shotgun on your back at all times, and it looks a little funny compared to like the space armor you're wearing. I think that's a bad choice. They could have made it look a little more tactical.
I intend to also get that game so we can do a high on horror video game stream of us killing xenomorphs, and I can think of nothing better.
Yes. I love that game. It's very arcadey.
Yeah, yeah, I would love like a, I don't know, there's always something about the Alien games that they make that are always a little off. I don't know if they don't pick the highest level developers or what it is. I just would I would love for them to get like maybe Ubisoft or somebody like that, Insomniac, to make a new story or something. I don't know. They always try to like subvert the genre and be like, let's take it in a fun new direction for games, like when they did Alien Isolation and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, make like Dead Space but with fucking xenomorphs running around. Just make it good.
That would be amazing. I have a Alien versus Predator game that was for the Xbox 360, and that game fucking rules, because you can be people, alien, or predator. And, like, it's the story. It has three totally different storylines and stuff. And it's multiplayer. And maybe we can find that one someday here. And we'll stream on that guy, too. Because that game fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I loved that game back in the day. But I would always play Predator.
You would always
play Predator. Yeah, I like Predator so much better. He's more of a character. Like, playing as a xenomorph is just like playing as, like, a fucking lion.
100% down. That's my shit. Okay, so speaking of my shit, this movie, Last Holiday, starring Queen Latifah, that I had never seen it before. Have you guys seen this before?
No.
I have.
I knew of it.
Yes. This is my second time seeing this one.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. So I guess, Josh, what did you think of it?
I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was exactly what I knew it was going to be. I remember the trailers for this movie and stuff and being like, yeah, that looks like your standard rom-com Christmas movie. I did feel like the love story was a little forced because of the fact that she leaves and travels halfway across the country and her love interest is someone she barely knows. I'm like, I don't think someone she talked to twice would fly to another country to find her. Like, it's a little weird, but no, it's fun. I've always liked Queen Latifah. I'm a big fan of Bringing Down the House with Martin, or what's his fucking name?
Steve Martin,
yeah. I like Steve Martin and Queen Latifah. Yeah, I think she's just good. She's always a fun time. And I love LL Cool J, so I'll take it. There's a lot of people in this, too. Friggin' Gustavo Fring's up in this bitch.
Giancarlo Esposito, yes. And fucking LL Cool J's in it, and about sums up all the people I know in it.
Oh, no, what's his name?
Timothy Hutton's in it.
Is that his name? No, I'm thinking of Gerard Depardieu, the chef. He was a bigger actor in like the 90s, and then he's had a lot of like weird sexual and like abusive towards women allegations out of nowhere. No. and Yeah, he always plays like such a sweetheart, so it's so weird to read all these these articles that are like, it happened again. Like he like spit in a woman's face. It's like allegedly.
Allegedly.
You were the chosen one, Gerard.
he did a weird movie in the 90s with what's her fucking name from the 40-Year-Old Virgin? Katherine Heigl. Where Katherine Heigl was like a teenager in real life playing his daughter, and she was trying to make this dude she liked jealous, so she told everyone that her dad was her boyfriend. And it was just like, what the fuck is this, the premise of a movie?
Interesting.
Written by a weird dad.
It's probably, I'm going to take a guess and say it was written by fucking Rene Depardieu or whatever the fuck I said his name was. Gerard Depardieu. I love saying his name.
So that's a fresh perspective. My perspective is that I had also never seen it and I very much enjoyed it. Queen Latifah is the shit, although I feel like I've seen her more in Sesame Street than anything. So, because she is all about Sesame Street. And I thought this was going to be the Steve Martin movie, so I was really subverted on what this was going to be. I had no idea. I thought this was going to be an Ebony and Ivory comedy.
Where the hell is my Steve Martin?
I don't know. Gerard Depardieu was getting a little flirty there for a while.
Yeah, he was interesting.
They could have switched the story. They could have made you forget all about LL.
I thought that's the direction they were going. But as your second time having seen it, Chris, did you pick up on any tidbits that are really profound that you missed the first time around?
No. Simply put, no, I didn't. I really enjoyed this, though, both times that I've watched it. I think this is a great Christmas movie. It's got kind of a cute overall story. Very much like don't wait around for life to happen to you kind of theme, which I'm a fan of. And yeah, Queen Latifah in this is just so likable, you know, like she's so sweet and you really feel for her character. And albeit her relationship with LL Cool J's character is pretty limited on screen, but
tenuous at best,
you know, it's very like Cinderella, right? Like Prince sees her one time and then needs to hunt her feet down,
Jesus
kind of deal. So,
I feel like the movie is like, if you watch the trailer, you get the whole movie.
Oh, for it's sure. Like, that's all.
Woman thinks
comes.
She's going to die, so she goes on a holiday and does all this, like, life threatening shit. And guess what? You can probably guess she doesn't die in the end.
Yeah, I was like, I can't wait for the somber ending to this movie. They're definitely gearing does. Up for it.
I feel like it could have been cut down, because this is a 2-hour long movie, which is kind of long for a comedy, and especially long for a movie where you know where it's going the entire time.
I wish that they would have had that live like you were dying song in this.
Tim McGraw.
Maybe that.
Tim McGraw wrote that after he saw this movie in the theater.
He's like, I want to put this one out there for Queen Latifah and her excellent acting in Last Holiday.
I went snowboarding.
This is a very seize the day movie. Again, didn't expect it. I was expecting him to be like, why do you talk like that, Steve Martin? But he wasn't in the movie at all. So this was a movie that the general premise, if you haven't seen it, is that Queen Latifah gets misdiagnosed that she's going to die in 3 weeks. So she withdraws all of the money she has in the world, her inheritance from her mom, gold coins or something, and she's like selling all of her whatever stocks. I don't know. She somehow produced a lot of money.
Mom must have left her with a lot, because I don't give a fuck what type of 401k or whatnot she has working at Sears or wherever the fuck it is she works. There's no way she'd have this type of money. She's upgrading herself to a fucking like $6,000 a night room, eating everything on the menu. Like, fuck no, you'd be broke in a day. The flight alone, the last minute flight to Switzerland or wherever the fuck she goes, that would be fucking $12,000.
Yeah, she materializes all this money and says, I'm going to blow it. She's going to live her life because she thinks it's about to end in 3 weeks. And fortunate
she
for
would
her,
just stay home and
back.
Fuck LL Cool J's brains out. Like, if she's going to do things she's always wanted to done, that would be her first stop, would be LL's house.
She has a book of, like, photos of other people where she cut her face out and LL Cool J's face out and stuck them to, like, white people getting married and stuff.
Yeah, they act like it's sweet. It's very serial killer-y.
That was actually the one major red flag of this film. I was like, she's got a fucking Helga Pataki shrine of this man.
She really does. And yeah, so she's always pining for LL Cool J. And I think if any of us had the option to stay at home and fuck LL Cool J, we'd take it. So it can't be that easy.
He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man.
Ladies love Cool James. That's what it stands for.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Huh. So at the beginning, she has some sort of relationship with a child. I think I missed that because I thought it was her son, and then she's just like, deuces, yeah. I'm going to fucking Prague.
Yeah, there's some sort of street youth she just makes dinner for every night. Which I took umbrage with that fucking scene. She makes this like gourmet chicken and vegetables, and then he's like, oh, are you going to have some too? And she's like, nope, I'm all about my lean cuisine. Like, chicken breast and vegetables is much more healthy for you than a fucking lean cuisine.
Sponsors of the movie.
You can't be Gordon Ramsay in your own kitchen and be like, I'm going to eat microwave dinners. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's her selflessness is the point. But she really, really likes Emeril. He was all the rage in 2006. Everyone was going bam every time they threw something in a pot. And, yeah, so I was like, as soon as they showed him on screen that she was watching him, I was like, he's going to be in this movie, I guarantee it. And I was right. So she likes to cook a lot. She has a scumbag boss who is the bad guy in Silicon Valley. And
Timothy Hutton. Or are you talking about the guy in the store?
The, like, manager of the store.
Yeah, that guy's a piece of shit. Yeah, I love his end credits where they're like, he got hit by a car, duh. Yeah. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, he's an asshole. And he plays the same character in Silicon Valley. I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but...
Yeah, I have.
He's like the king of Google. He's such a piece of shit. So then she goes to the hospital. She meets the doctor who misdiagnoses her. End being the end, it's like the machine is malfunctioning, but he has a nervous breakdown that he diagnosed her with a life-threatening illness.
Well, what store does she work in? It's got a fucking health care center in it. Like, what is this? It's like a hospital. Like, I could understand if it was a mall and it was like a you know, like clinic or something. Like, what are all those things that pop up all over the place now?
Urgent care.
Like a walk. Urgent care. Yeah. That's what it kind of seems like until he's like, yeah, we just got a new MRI machine. It's like, urgent care doesn't have that.
No. They literally restructured the hospital I used to work at to bring in a third MRI machine. They cost so much that they like rebuilt a part of the hospital and redirected all parking to a different side of the building because that's how much it costs and how much it was worth. And these people,
yeah, they bring
are
that
just
fucker
like,
in on a crane.
Yeah, it's like, come on in, it's next to the staple guns. Like, what the fuck?
yeah
this man would never be a doctor.
Just like bump your head and let me do a CAT scan down the way from the microwaves and the, you know, dishwashers.
Yeah, she receives a head injury and LL Cool J's first thought is to pick her up and carry her across a mall. It's like, you don't move people with a head injury.
Well, if there's an MRI machine so conveniently placed with the other appliances.
Also, I feel like they took away from LL's buffness to focus on Queen Latifah's weight. Because he's like huffing and puffing from carrying her.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to think that Queen Latifah was so fat. And watching her in this, I'm like, oh, she's an average American. Like,
well, she was. In the 90s, she was bigger.
Was she?
And then she started to slim down. I mean, she's not a small lady, but I mean, she's not morbidly obese or anything.
No, I think she's really pretty. I was surprised because I just remember her not being pretty.
You could really see the scar on her forehead in this movie, and I was like, oh, Queen Latifah used to be badass in the early 90s. I'm wondering, was this some fucking Fight in the Hood or something? And I looked it up, and it was like, no, I was playing tag with my brother when we were kids. I ran into a coffee table. I was like, ah, I thought this was going to be some banger shit. Like, you fucked a chick up, and you got one in the skull.
She's not that much Sesame Street, bro. yeah, I really don't know virtually anything about Queen Latifah except that I've seen her on a lot of Sesame Street.
She's royal.
She is royal.
Yeah.
Isn't she a musician too? Doesn't she like?
Yeah, that's how she started. She was like a kind of a rapper. It was weird. It was very like yeah. I don't know. It was the early 90s. So, I mean, it makes sense that LL Cool J is also in this movie because they were very big around the same time. But, I mean, she's been doing movies for the majority of her career.
Yeah, she took that J-Lo route where you just kind of use your music as a launching pad. Anyway, so she gets booped in the head. The doctor that they hire is definitely the kind of doctor that Sears would hire and just completely incompetent. So he's freaking out. He has a nervous breakdown about it. She goes, okay, I'm going to blow all my money, and flies to Prague. Once in Prague, she meets a group of very wealthy people, including Timothy Hutton, who owns the Sears that she works at. Like the whole franchise.
Just by circumstance, she runs into the CEO of the shit company that she works for.
And Giancarlo Esposito is the senator that represents her district. And there's a guy an actor named Michael Nouri who plays a congressman, and he has white hair. And every time I saw him on the screen, I was like, oh, that's the guy who plays Dr. Octopus. No, it's not. It's the guy who plays Green Goblin. And then I like looked at it hard enough, and he looks like if Dr. Octopus and Green Goblin had a baby. It would be this senator dude. Look at the picture. Look at him right now.
I definitely know him from something.
Yeah, I thought he was Dr. Octopus. He's definitely not. So I don't know. But he has the strongest facial features of both Willem Dafoe and what's his name, Michael Molina or something like that.
Alfred Molina.
Anyway, so he looks just like that in the whole movie. That was really all I could think about. So she meets all of them, and they're like, wow, we love her carefree attitude and how she just throws money away. She must be so rich. And she meets Gerard Depardieu, who is...
Joke's on you. She's dying.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, they think she's like some like secret shopper or fucking like Walmart espionage team member.
Yeah, so Timothy Hutton is convinced that she's a bad guy when he's the bad guy. And as much as bad guys can be in these movies, the bad guy is always just like, man, I can't wait till we clear up this misunderstanding.
Yeah, I mean, he's just there trying to get blown by his fucking vice president or whatever, the personal secretary, whatever the fuck she is, the hot redhead.
Ms. Burns.
Yeah, what does she do besides
she's a hussy.
The deed?
That's her job, is she's a hussy.
Yeah, so good for her.
She's the vice president of all things that are important to him.
The pants president. She handles the pants department. So he's cheating on his wife with this foxy redhead girl. And Gerard Depardieu is essentially Gordon Ramsay, except he's really nice because he's like, wow, I can't believe there's a lady who likes to eat this much when she orders everything on the menu.
Yeah, he's like a 5-star chef in this like very upscale, sophisticated restaurant, but they give his character art is like, oh, people always want to change my menu and ask for substitutions. There would be no such thing in a restaurant of this quality.
No.
You would be honored to have your meal prepared by this man.
Like, he tells you what's on the menu.
Yeah, he relates to her because he's undervalued.
And
he's like, she loves to eat. I can't believe she loves to eat. And it's like,
that's why they're
she doesn't
here.
Look like she doesn't like to eat.
Right?
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and there's a later point in this movie where he says something that it resonated so hard with me. It was, the key to life is butter. And that is so true. Do you like the taste of butter? You remember the witch? It goes all the way back.
Yeah, do you wish to live deliciously?
So Gerard Depardieu is instantly in love, but so is Giancarlo Esposito. They're like, oh no.
Everybody wants a piece of the queen.
Long live the queen.
Yeah, may her booty reign.
And for those of you who don't know who Giancarlo Esposito is, he plays Gus Fring on Breaking Bad, and then that has been the character that he has portrayed in everything he's been in ever since. He's plays the same character in The Boys, and I feel like just every time you see him, he's like, I speak slowly and deliberately, so you must listen.
That's before he was in Breaking Bad, I knew him from he was the man in the mirror in Once Upon a Time.
Really?
That ABC show? Yeah.
He was also, he plays like a really like a street thug in a Spike Lee movie, or Spike Jones movie. And yeah, like watching that right next to Gus Fring in Breaking Bad is pretty profound difference. Cause
I saw him in an episode of NYPD Blue, and he was like a fucking meth head.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
And he
was
so young, it was so weird.
From a meth head to a Lord Commander in the freaking Imperial Armada.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Viceroy of the Galactic Republic or whatever.
People can really turn their lives around.
It's moving on up.
Let that be a lesson for all you out there. This man has lived many lives.
Moff Gideon,
yeah, never
bro.
Give up.
That's his name. Anyway.
Long live the Moff.
Yeah. So, and funny enough, he almost always plays a black character, but he's not a black. He is a full-blooded Italian man. Like, they always cast him in an ethnic role, and he is full-blooded, just an Italian dude. And it's just amazing that he is able to blend those lines. He's a really good actor. So he falls in love with Queen Latifah. He represents her district. He was supposed to go to her church and he was too busy, but then she finds out he's too busy because he's on this vacation trying to smooze Timothy Hutton.
Can we talk about the church scene for a second? I love the music number.
Yes.
Why God? Why me?
It's just crazy. Well, there's the first one where she's like unhappy with life because she's, you know, she works at Sears or whatever, and the pastor's just like, you ain't singing, bitch. She's like, oh, I thought I was, and he was like, well, the Lord don't think you was. And then she's dying and she goes back and she just like busts into her own solo of sing screaming why to God. But then the whole church is like, wah, wah.
She has a lot of conversations with God in this movie, actually. There's like, she is clearly a woman of faith.
At very inappropriate times. She's out on a ledge and LL Cool J's like, I love you. And she's like, you gonna do me like this, Lord? I'm dying.
Yeah, man, I love her character so much. She's just so bubbly and full of joy. So once she's there, of course, Timothy Hutton's like, oh, the show's supposed to be about me. And everyone else is like, but look at her. She's having a good time. So they gravitate towards her. She goes skiing with them at some point. I don't know if she's intentionally with them or if she's just skiing for skiing's sake. But she does some crazy shit as one would expect. She's like, this is my first time. She's doing backflips and shit.
She's going down the Black Diamond.
Yep. I was like, I know I'm going to hear the words Black Diamond as soon as she stood on the snowboard or whatever. I was like, here we go. She's going to accidentally fall into that shit, and sure shit.
She gets put on the cover of a snowboarding mountain within like 12 hours. Yep. For accidentally gracefully falling down a mountain on a snowboard.
That's how Sonny died. Sonny and Cher.
And almost killing a man.
Timothy Hutton, actually. So, yeah, she ends up on that magazine. Everyone is like, we still love you, Queen Latifah. And then we enter a character who I don't understand how this character is a thing. She's like a lady butler.
Yeah, I like her, though. I thought she was going to be in love with Queen Latifah, too.
Yeah, she was.
Talking about the lady who got the freaking irrigation of her colon?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, I go through everybody's stuff. It's like, you what? Nobody's concerned about this? But yeah, she's really droll and doesn't like Queen Latifah for no reason until she finds out she's dying, and then they're best friends. Doesn't make much sense. During massages, Queen Latifah's getting hit with sticks. That was that interesting.
Yeah, she grabs the palm frond and starts beating the person with it.
So this, yeah, she's standing up for the working man. She's living life the way that life is supposed to be lived. Everybody falls in love with her, like everybody. She even says to that the butler lady, she's like, if you're coming on to me, I can't handle this right now. It's too much. And then she ends up gambling like it's Las Vegas and Prague, and she makes $300,000 off of the money that she puts down.
I mean,
yeah,
scared so money crazy. Don't make money.
This is true. And she hits on the same number twice. It's like, what the fuck? So, yeah, all of a sudden her luck is just super lucky, and there had to be some way that she'd make her money back because she survived this movie. And she can't come back to Sears super broke at the end. That's not how a movie like this ends. So she had to have some way to make money back, and she did, and everybody made money except for Timothy Hutton. Boo-hoo. These were pretty broad strokes of her spending spree. She got fancy clothes at one point. Did I miss anything?
She went skydiving.
She did. She went
Rocky
skydiving.
Rocky Mountain climbing. 2.7 seconds on LL Cool J.
Yep, she goes skydiving in like a Versus with Timothy Hutton. Like, I don't know why. Like, why were they competing? Like, she wasn't competing. He was like, I'm gonna jump more-er.
Yeah, his intentions are so weird. She's like, oh, I'm gonna go base jumping. And he's like, I'll go base jumping too. And she's just like, okay.
And then he's too much of a bitch and he pussies out.
I love that scene, though, where he's like, oh, mechanical failure. I can't do this.
So then, disgraced. Oh, and she like gives everybody a pep talk. Everyone gets a pep talk, and is like super resonates with everybody, including his little mistress. She's like, "You are never gonna get him. He is a monster." And she's like, "You know what? You're right. Maybe I am just being a hussy. Like, my dreams are..."
Yeah, get off your knees and take your ass back to school.
So there's just a lot of that. A lot of everybody needs to know stuff. Then the maid lady, it's important for her to become a person who knows, because she ends up delivering the good news at the end that everybody is not gonna die. And Timothy Hutton, disgraced, threatens to jump off of the building, and they're like, who's gonna save her? There's who's gonna save him? And everyone looks at Queen Latifah, and she's like, I guess this is my job now. So she goes to save the man who's about to jump, the woman who's about to die. She has no skin in the game on this one.
We're shown on a snowy ledge on like this eighth story of a building.
Yeah, and everyone's like, he's going to jump. He's going to kill himself. When she gets up there, she's like, say Happy New Year so no one thinks you're going to kill yourself. And
no, there's absolutely no like creeping suspicion that this man was about to commit suicide. Definitely there for a New Year's cheer.
Yeah,
it was such a weird ending, because like his like final villain reveal is like, he's like, she's a fraud. She's not some rich aristocrat. She's just dying. And everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. And then he's like shocked, like, what do you mean you're not on my side?
Yeah. And she just takes it in stride. She's like, yeah, I never told you I wasn't dying. I never brought that up.
He's like, what the hell? You don't hate the poors? What kind of people are you? I thought we were rich together.
And meanwhile, LL Cool J is flying across the planet to chase after this lady that he's had two conversations with. They've just looked at each other over the grills a few times.
Yeah, nobody's got a phone in this universe. They're using fax machines. He's flying across the world to be like, I need to tell this woman I love her. I couldn't just possibly call the hotel and ask for a room. Let me spend thousands of dollars from my Sears salary to fly across the world.
I did like the scene where he's on the airplane, though, and they clearly sprayed him with water. His whole head is just, like, soaked.
He's sweating his ass off.
And the kid goes, maybe you should color, and he looks at the coloring book like, maybe I should color. But they couldn't show LL Cool J coloring with crayons, so they had to cut away. So he suddenly shows up and climbs out on the ledge and professes his love to her in a speech where he's just like, I don't care how long I love you. I want to love you. And she's like, damn, God, damn. And then the butler lady comes out and she's like, you're not going to die. And everyone's like, woo. And that's pretty much how the movie ends.
Yeah, and then she opens a fancy restaurant.
I was going to say, then she gets to live out her dream with her mans.
And she meets Emerald. Emerald shows up. Bam.
She went skydiving. Emerald Lagasse crying.
I want an alternate ending where she just dies at every single moment she does dangerous shit in this movie. Flies off the side of a mountain on a snowboard, fucking parachute doesn't open when she's base jumping.
That actually would be amazing.
Chokes on Gerard J. Pardue's food.
So, this movie, like, I'm not a rom-com guy. I can't help but sit there and be like, this is so stupid. I can't handle this for most of these. This one was fun. This was legitimately a fun movie. I really enjoyed this one. What about you guys?
I also very much enjoyed this. I thought it was fun. It's cute. It's kind of silly. You know, similar vibes to like Love Actually in the sense that it's like to the extreme on the lessons that they're trying to teach you. Like you said, she had, you know, life lessons to help all of these people with their woes once she kind of detached from the life that she had and just started taking chances instead of always playing it safe.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun. I wasn't super in love with it or anything. Like I said, it doesn't have, for something that is very long, it doesn't have a lot more to it than what you see in the trailers. So just wacky hijinks, but it's a good time, and Queen Latifah definitely carries the film. So and everyone's a bit of a wacky character, so that's always fun to watch. So yeah, definitely go see it.
You can definitely tell when LL Cool J forgets his lines though, because he just like stumbles through it a little bit, and they're like, "Wow, way to improv, LL."
Right off the cuff, LL.
Yeah, well, they never put any emphasis on the fact that he's extremely handsome either. It's like he's like nervously approaching Queen Latifah. It's like, you can have any woman you want, LL. Like, what are you doing?
You can't spell hell yeah, brother, without LL.
So, what are we going to rate this bad boy, our Christmas episode 2023?
Head injuries.
I was gonna say broken MRI machines.
Ooh. I think mental breakdowns. That seems to be a theme in this movie.
A couple of Y lords.
Colon irrigations. I'll have five, please.
Book of Possibilities.
There it is.
Yeah.
That was very creepy. We gotta recut the trailer to look like a fucking thriller.
When she rejects Gerard Depardieu, the only reason it's not really sad is because they play upbeat music and then he feeds her and he's like, I'm not crying. Like, if it was the music that made all the difference there. So how many creepy books are we going to give this movie?
Creepy.
I'm going 4 for this one. I really enjoy this movie. I thought it was really fun. And I don't know, it's just perfect for the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, I was going to go 4, too.
That's 3-4s, folks.
Hey!
Yeah! But how about Queen Latifah? Do you think she's Kakoho Shaw approved?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Queen Latifah, 100%. 5 across the board.
Yeah! So there we have it. Kaka! But also not.
Kaka!
So,
Kaka to the queen!
So 4 out of 5, as far as rom-coms go, that's about as good as they get for a bunch of horror boys. Yeah. So if you guys disagree and you think that it's a stellar movie or you think it's the worst movie, hit us up on the socials, H on H Pod, wherever you get your social media. We also are starting to make some sales for the Christmas season. I know the Christmas season is over now, but we're starting to make some sales on the High on Horror Threadless shop. That's honhpod.threadless.com. Get yourself a Kakoa Shaw shirt. All the good stuff. Leave us alone, skunk. Always a winner. Get yourself a sloppy breakfast. I'm thinking about getting a High on Horror shower curtain because my shower curtain is just kind of foggy and I want something to cover up my business.
Yeah, it's the holiday seasons, y'all. Either give or receive a sloppy breakfast. Love the one you're with.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Christmas is about remembering those that you love and making sure that they're properly sloppy breakfasted.
It's not only about giving, but also receiving.
Well, on that note, happy holidays from High on Horror, and remember, life is tough, so why not get High on Horror? Oh, that was a good man.